We've been discussing all morning long the death, reported first by Yemeni officials and confirmed by U.S. authorities, of the man the U.S. believes to be the leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, Anwar al-Awlaki, taken out by a drone strike as a convoy was moving through an area about 90 miles east of Sana'a, the Yemeni capital. The contrast couldn't be more stark if you look back to the raid that took out Osama bin Laden. In that particular case, the U.S. violated Pakistani sovereignty, went in, got Osama bin Laden, killed him, took his body out of the country. The government wounded, if anything, and destabilized by the U.S. action. In Yemen, it is just the reverse. The Yemeni government embracing the U.S. action, embracing the military presence on Yemeni soil. In that situation, what does it mean for diplomats around the world who find themselves in situations where the U.S. is on the government side or very much off the government side? We're joined once again by Charles Dunbar, who was U.S. ambassador to Yemen from 1988 to 1991. He's now a lecturer in international relations at Boston University. Thanks for staying with us, Charles.
Thanks. Pleased to be here.
We also want to bring in Wendy Chamberlain, who's president of the Middle East Institute, former ambassador to Pakistan and Laos. Wendy, thanks so much for being with us.
Yes. Good morning.
So we've got two perfect people here. I mean, can you imagine a greater contrast, the Pakistani sensitivity about working with the U.S. versus the what seems to be the embrace of the Saleh government to what's gone on here this morning? Wendy Chamberlain?
Well, I think the Pakistani reaction to our attack on Osama bin Laden is a very complicated one. If you recall, when President Obama first announced the death of Osama bin Laden, he handed Pakistani a bouquet. He gave them credit for helping us. And their first reaction was very positive, and to claim that they had indeed helped us with the raid on Osama bin Laden. 2 days later, they decided to play the victim card. So their position on being offended at violating sovereignty was a choice. And it wasn't their first reaction, and it need not have been their reaction.
Interesting. Let's recall a statement made earlier this morning by Hakim al-Masmari, who's the editor-in-chief at the Yemen Post. He sort of speculated on what the popular reaction might be to the report of this drone strike. Listen.
No one has any authority to enter anywhere which is run by the U.S. authorities. Yemen is giving the U.S. complete power and support to do as it feels, intelligence-wise, security-wise, or military-wise. So the U.S. is basically ruling the country, and it's sometimes in Yemen, the opposition leaders say that the U.S. ambassador is the official president of Yemen and not President Saleh.
It's Hakim al-Masmari, editor-in-chief at the Yemen Post, speaking from Sana'a this morning. Charles Dunbar, who was U.S. ambassador to Yemen from 1988 to 1991, does that strike you as the situation having changed significantly in that the U.S. and the Yemeni government seem to be working pretty closely together?
Yes, well, that's the central dilemma that they, as I said a few minutes ago, that the United States faces is the Yemen authorities, with President Saleh now back in the country, are going to indicate to us, and we're going to be listening carefully, that without us, where you won't be able to prosecute your struggle against al-Qaeda effectively. And I think we need to, I think our problem is that we need to look beyond that. I think President Saleh's time in Yemen is up, and I think we've got to focus on the country's moving on to a new phase in its history, and that is a distant point. The second one is getting what looks to be the start of a civil war from not developing into a full-scale fight all around Yemen.
And, you know, whether the U.S. can prevent something like that or not is very much an open question. Charles Dunbar, who was U.S. ambassador to Yemen from 1988 to 1991. Let's put it to you, Wendy Chamberlain, former ambassador to Pakistan. Do you think this event destabilizes Yemen, has destabilizing implications for the region?
Look, I think the number one concern for the United States is the threat of terrorism on our own land. Now, we certainly have ample evidence that he was a behind some of the more serious plots on U.S. security in recent times, the underwear bomber, et cetera. No, I think the attack was justified.
Justified, certainly. But do you think it allows, and we saw this in Iraq, that military action in Iraq became a kind of radicalizer for certain sorts of insurgent groups. Anwar al-Awlaki was himself a radicalizer, a sort of evangelizer of the terrorist message. Does that make it more or less likely that we're going to see more of that evangelizing of terrorism coming out of the Arabian Peninsula or anywhere else, Wendy?
Well, there was certainly a lot of assertions and analytic views that it radicalized people. But when the major change came to the Middle East, it did not come from radicalized youth following the extremist line of al-Qaeda. It came rather from educated technocrats, young people who followed Google and Facebook and adopted a peaceful approach to demanding change in their governments. So I'm not sure I buy that original line.
All right. Wendy Chamberlain, president of the Middle East Institute, former ambassador to Pakistan from 2001 to 2002. Charles Dunbar, some final thoughts from you. Do you think the U.S. pays an appropriate level of attention to Anwar al-Awlaki? Some in Yemen have said to us that he's, relatively speaking, a figurehead, and his message is not necessarily persuasive to any sort of broad constituency.
First of all, I would agree with Ambassador Chamberlain that the attack on Mr. al-Awlaki was fully justified. I would also agree with the point that he is someone who causes us particular fascination because of his fluent English and his oratorical skills. But I just conclude with the point that he is a bit of a sideshow even to what is going on in Yemen.
And that's something that we need to keep our eye on. Charles Dunbar, U.S. Ambassador to Yemen from 1988 to 1991, now a lecturer at Boston University. Thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.